Hello, this is your host of Just Thinking, Kevin Doherty. I am the Chief Strategy Officer for 806 Technologies. I have a very special guest today. I've had the great opportunity to visit with Kelly Deer at the 806 Learning Summit that we had recently in June in Frisco, Texas. And I've been connected with her through LinkedIn for a while and just been so impressed with her dedication and commitment to better serving students. So without further ado, I'm going to let Kelly tell you a little bit more about who she is and what she does. So, Kelly?
Kevin, thank you so much for this opportunity. My name is Kelly Deer. I am the Director of Federal Programs with Northeast Independent School District. So Northeast is in the San Antonio area. We are one of what is referred to as the Big Three districts. We're the third largest district. We have close to about 60,000 students and over 70 campuses. So we serve pre-K through 12th grade. And we are just a well-rounded learning institution within Northeast.
That's amazing. So big districts have unique challenges and opportunities as opposed to a district that's much smaller than that. So speak to our viewing, listening audience a little bit more about what some of those opportunities and challenges are, Kelly.
Well, the opportunity is to serve our students and prepare our students. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that our students are changing all the time. Year to year, we get different groups of students that need particular services, particular strengths, and may come with learning gaps. So right now, we have plenty of immigrant students and emergent bilingual students that are coming to us and really wanting to grow their education and learn, but they do come with some challenges. So that is our biggest challenge as of right now.
And so whenever you're looking to implement something, whatever that may be, and you're doing it for 70 plus schools, what are some of the challenges and opportunities that implementing on a wide scale present?
Well, on wide scale, it is serving so many unique learning schools. Right. As far as each school comes with so many different challenges and comes with different leaderships leading those schools. So we work really hard to make sure that we're serving all our kids, but in my role also that we are serving our educators. So from our leaders at the campus to the classroom teacher, that we are all sharing with them and helping them refine and tune up their mm-hmm. expertise to best serve the kids.
So it sounds like there's a pretty heavy focus on professional learning in Northeast ISD.
Always.
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 The other thing that I'm hearing in you and what you're sharing is that it's ongoing. It's never ending. This is something that you're committed to revisiting and refining as you're going. So so on that topic of continuous improvement, I know from previous conversations with you that the focus on continuous improvement for each of these campuses is something that you're deeply involved in. So speak a little bit about that focus and how that's going so far.
Well, about 3 years ago, we started to take a greater look at our DIP and our campus improvement plans. Okay. And we started to see that we were not really aligned across the district or even within grade levels. So elementary was not aligned in middle and high school. So I'm part of a department, Learning Support Services, and within that department, we decided and approached our leadership about changing our SIPs into inner depth so that we were using a tool that would show growth and that could forever change as our learning changed and as our students changed. So with that, we started a three-year implementation. Mm-hmm. Our pilot year, we worked with six campuses, okay. Two high school, two middle, and two elementary. So we brought these campuses in and we took small steps. The first step was start to looking at their needs assessment. And was their needs assessment truly showing what the needs of the students at that time needed? Where were they not showing growth? And how could we focus more towards that? Mm-hmm. So we started to look at Plan for Learning and really loved the format of that particular software, that platform. And so we asked as a pilot to go ahead and start to work in Plan for Learning and see how we could improve our SIPs. So we started with the six campuses. And initially, of course, when you have a large organization and you have change, you have some people that are hesitant towards that change. But with our six campuses, as they start to see that what they were building was not necessarily the SIP that they were used to, but a SIP that they could show in their leadership meetings, in their campus improvement committee meetings, and have this document to say, this is what we are learning as our strategies. This is the growth that we are seeing with our data organization teams, our DOTs. And so how can we can continue to go forward? And then having the software so it was so easily manageable to edit it as they were seeing the reviews and if the reviews were going well or if they needed to go back a little bit and do some adjustments. So with that initial team of six campuses, the second year, we decided to bring in all of our title campus, which was another 26 campuses. So we wanted all our title campuses in the Plan for Learning because of the start, our cohort one, our six pilot campuses, five of them were title. And when they started to see how they could create their needs assessment and then load it into Title I Create very easily instead of using their traditional Microsoft Word document that was being shared and refined, and so it would, the format would get all messed up and somebody would get frustrated. So when they saw this easy process of doing not only the needs assessment, but then their title evaluation through Plan for Learning, they drank that Kool-Aid and they were loving it. So they started the message with the rest of our title campuses, how much easier their life is going to be. As far as maintaining the title compliance information and then building a document that was so useful for their leadership committee and for their community. So with that, the second year, we brought in our remaining Title I campuses. We also learned that second year that our leadership in our district loved what they were seeing. And our school board was looking at the different SIPs, the ones that were in Plan for Learning, the ones that were not. And they started to really like what they were seeing. They wanted us to move district-wide. So that second year, we knew the third year we would be bringing in all the non-title. So another 30-plus campuses. Plus, we would be transitioning our DIP to Plan for Learning. So that second year, as we're bringing in our remaining title campuses, we started the communication with our non-title and with our district level, as far as this will be our transition next year. So we created a fillable needs assessment from the Plan for Learning information that's provided. And so we started the second year. This will, you need to start looking at a needs assessment now so that when we move, you'll have less work to do initially and it will be an easy transition. So we started that and we started going to cluster meetings and talking to campuses that were in the platform and the campuses that were not in the platform because we have our clusters by high school. So we'd have some clusters with some non-title schools and title schools. So they would both be in the clusters and having that communication that way with them in the small groups. And you have title campuses talking to the non-title that have not transitioned in saying, once you have your information in there, it is so wonderful because all you're doing is you're revising it. You're taking your, we call them DOTs that we learned from the continuous improvement without continuous stress book. So our data organization teams and the campuses are using that information. They're saying we're having our DOTs take our new data and plug it in and then see how we're growing or we're not growing. Do we need to make a change in our strategy? So it's really become more of a significantly useful and knowledgeable tool for our learning communities, our campuses. And so they're really enjoying it. But so we are in year three. We have all campuses in. Right now we are revising our non-title schools because they're moved in there into Plan for Learning platform. And so we're downloading what they have in, and we're giving them suggestions on how they could make it better. But what we've done through the entire process is we've told our schools, aim small, miss small. So look at your old traditional, we call it the antiquated SIP.
Right.
What is our data saying now?
Right.
Build, we have our board approved goals across all our campuses. There are 8 of them. So build at least one performance objective and one strategy for each goal. And then let's see where you need to build more. So aim small, miss small, and then use this as a tool to show where your kids are thriving and where you need to show some growth.
Nice.
So
that's amazing. I mean, what an incredible recipe that you've just laid out for what sounds like is an incredibly successful implementation. And on that note, what results are you seeing right now in terms of moving the needle for student learning?
We're seeing baby steps.
Okay.
You know, we are a very large district.
Yes.
But we are seeing that our kids are growing.
Mm-hmm.
I think every district everywhere has got so many areas that we all need to work on. So, but what we are seeing most importantly is that we have a tool where we can see the changes more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It directs, our data is directing where our campus improvement plans are going. And so that's where you will see over time the greatest growth in our students.
Yes.
So our steps are small.
Yes.
But we know that if we continue in this direction, that we'll see bigger growths and bigger strides. We're interested in seeing what happens in our state assessments this year.
Yes.
Now that we are really going forward with this direction. And we know it won't be, you know, unicorns and rainbows,
right.
But we do think it will be great strides that we can show that our kids are learning and that we, our district, are going in the right direction.
So we'll definitely need to have a follow-up episode because I want to have you share the results after this year's assessment. Another thought that I have is historically a SIP or a DIP or different states may call it different things. They're improvement plans, but is a one and done. You know, we do it, we turn it in, and it sits on a shelf or it sits in a file on a computer or in the cloud or whatever, and we're done with it.
Right.
Another piece that I think is so critical is the formative review. How do you see that playing out in Northeast ISD as part of the Plan for Learning platform?
It's worked out even smoother. And that is what we are seeing from our cohort 1 and 2, the first 2 groups that started in Plan for Learning. Doing the formative reviews are so much easier than what they had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You are moving the toggle to a percent that you're estimating. We are showing growth. We're not 100% there, but we know that we have made at least 20% growth for in our November review. So they'll move that toggle over, and then all of them, not only title, but they're all putting that evidence. How are you showing that growth? How do you determine you've met that 20%?
Yes.
Or for some campuses, they'll say, well, we know we're going to do this strategy, but we're not starting that strategy until January. That's fine. Move that toggle just off the NP to the 0 so that in writing your evidence box, this strategy will begin in January.
Nice.
And then you're fine.
Yep.
But also teaching them how to use the dashboard just to make sure that you are in all your green across the dashboard. That's what we tell them. You want green and checks and everything is golden.
Yes.
So, but yes. But what we do find is we have a community that is very interested in learning for our kids. They do review the SIPs. So we do get questions about it. And that's what I find so wonderful also, is because educating kids is not just the teachers. It is not just the parents. It is a combination of families, teachers, community, everybody.
Yes.
So having a document that reflects what is happening in the school.
Yes.
And a document that reflects growth.
Yes.
With those formative reviews is important. And Kevin, you nailed it so perfectly when you said a sip and a dip is never to be done once and then filed away for the year.
Right.
It is a document that does have to be reviewed regularly.
Yes.
And so for some, not all the campuses, but for some, it's been a little bit of a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a good shift.
So earlier we talked about professional learning. So when you're implementing whatever it may be, in this instance, we're talking plan for learning, but when you're doing it on a broad scale, district-wide, what role has professional learning played in ensuring an effective, impactful implementation?
Well, with the professional learning, we have definitely had to take small steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think when you have a bigger organization, it's an easier process if you do it smallly, in small incremental steps.
Yes.
But we are also educators at heart, so planning is important.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done with our professional development is we've made a calendar. At this point in the year, you definitely should have your needs assessment completed, start transitioning in and refining your strategies and your performance objectives, and then bringing in our new campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Very much of a tight calendar with them. By this date, have the needs assessment. This date, make sure and have your campus improvement committee review. Just a very tight calendar for the planning so that we roll it out in small steps and it helps them as far as transition.
Nice.
So, and learn, because I do think it, if you go full force 100%, it's harder for everybody to see how the true progress can be done.
Yes.
So with our professional learning, that is what we've done. We've made a very good calendar that we share with everyone as far as where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we check.
Yep.
So it's just a team of three of us with a very large district.
Wow.
And so we have divided up the campuses, and the campuses come to us. The campuses know that we're going to be reviewing what they have entered. And then we question. We ask them, and then we ask to attend their instructional leadership teams, and then always going to the clusters,
right.
Going to the cluster meetings and talking to all the principals. That helps a lot. It really does help when you have the principals that have been using a platform and are knowledgeable and have gone through our professional learning.
Yes.
And gone through the baby steps with us, and they'll tell the ones that are coming in or the newbies, it's not that bad.
Yes.
Just listen with them and work with them. They're here to support us. They're not here to be against us. And that's another thing they've learned, is that we're here to support. We're here. We're not here to work against you. We're here to work with you.
You beat me to the punch, Kelly, because my next question for you was going to be, with this phase in approach, what role do those who are earlier involved in the process play with the newer folks coming on? And it sounds like they're playing the role you'd want them to play, somewhat of a mentoring role, or, you know, helping to keep that amygdala from getting too expanded. It's like, it's okay, we've been through this before. And so keeping everyone else kind of calm and focused, and not so frightened by, because change can be scary. So, so acknowledging that and having folks that have been there before that can help guide the newer folks coming on board through this change process. So sounds like a brilliant strategy for a large organization. So kudos to you for all of that.
Thank you. I don't know if I'd say brilliant, but it's really, honestly, it's been fun. It has been working with them and getting them in something that we're now seeing the benefits of, it as far as they're coming to us and saying, I really appreciate this. This is such a better document than I had worked on before. And so it is, that's good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I work mostly with our title campuses. They love it because their work has been reduced so much by having the needs assessment and the evaluation within one platform.
Yes.
And then just being able to download it and load it into another platform for their compliance. So
that's awesome.
They love it.
Well, Kelly, I am blessed and fortunate to work for an organization like 806 Technologies. And I mentioned earlier in this podcast episode that you and I got the chance to visit in person at the Learning Summit that we've had the past 2 years. And I, you know, one of the reasons I'm so proud to be part of the organization is that level of commitment to fostering thought leadership and relationships and not strictly being transactional. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm not asking you to pat 806 on the back or whatever, but just what that part of the partnership has been for you as a district leader.
Well, I will say 806 has been a partner with us. They have helped us so tremendously as we've gone through this process. And not only just with Plan for Learning, but with Title I CREATE. I've used several of the platforms that 806 represents and has available. And each one, every person that I have worked with has always checked up on us and asked, how are we doing? What can I do to help your process better? Just very professional, giving and wanting to find solutions. So if I have asked for something to be different or to possibly another option, 806 is very quick to be able to jump on that and try to make the easiest solution for the school district. And so I just appreciate the opportunity to work with 806. And I will say the summit, some of the greatest learning that we've gotten for our implementation has come from the summit.
That's awesome.
So we really, really enjoy that opportunity of learning.
Well, Kelly, we really appreciated having you and some of your team members there and getting to learn alongside you, because we're learning as well. So it's a group effort. Well, Kelly, I am so glad you took the time to visit with me today on this. And I do want to follow up when you get your results so that we can talk about that. And again, no big expectations. You said baby steps, but kind of look at those baby steps. What were those baby steps and what were some of the things that you did from a continuous improvement planning standpoint that you feel led to those baby steps? Who knows? You may have even have some toddler sized steps in there as well. But Kelly, is there anything else about what you're just thinking that I did not give you the opportunity to share during this episode?
Well, you know, we have definitely experienced a very hot, hot summer here in South Texas. And we are now finally starting to transition to that fall season when we come into some incredible holidays and themes. And this time of the year, what's always on my heart is giving, and particularly to families of need. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I just ask anyone and everybody that's out there is look for those community organizations that help our families that come and are experiencing times where they're having hardships. Anything you can do to help and give back, I think it's just an effort that goes beyond us as individuals. And so I'm looking forward to my times of giving. Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone else does too.
I love that, Kelly. And I'm going to piggyback a little bit. I grew up the oldest of six kids, and we had some very lean times. And were it not for friends and family members bringing over bags of groceries or bags of clothing or helping to fix a roof that was broken, we would be in really rough shape. So we were the benefactors of so many giving people. So I know the benefit of receiving, and I also know the tremendous benefit of giving. So yes. Great note on which to end. Thanks so much for being part of Just Thinking today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You as well. Thank you, Kelly.